your fault. Baby, it's not mine. Our chance, we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you see it coming, no time to beg out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, be no doubt when you see you are. Grass make dab in the middle of it. Grass make dab in the middle. We are grass make dab in the middle of it. Right on schedule.
The Secret Truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. This is George Butler. We've got an exciting week of news to make comments on and some really nice clips here to play. And we're going to start off here with DeRoy Murdecki, and he's with Fox Business. He's got a panel of discussion here about this Rosenstein situation that's just come out. And Rosenstein has been added, you know, with the New York Times, of all places, article about him conspiring to take a wire, wiring himself and going into the White House and secretly taping or recording conversations with President Trump to try to set him up on a Amendment 25 charge for removal. And this particular panel discussion does set out what Rosenstein has refuted and what he has said about these allegations. And then we're going to be getting into some Hannity, Sean Hannity comments and some other people. And even we'll bring in Alex Jones there towards the end. So listen to this carefully, this panel discussion. This will sort of give us an overall view of what's going on. And we'll also touch on the Christine Blasey Ford confirmation of Kavanaugh hearings that are ongoing, and negotiations are still underway about the terms of her testimony. But listen to this carefully then and see what you think.
We begin with a bombshell late this afternoon from D.C., Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein slamming a report from the New York Times that said he discussed wearing a wire to record conversations with President Trump and additionally to recruit cabinet members to invoke the 25th Amendment to remove President Trump from office. Rosenstein releasing a statement in part reading, "The New York Times story is inaccurate and factually incorrect. Let me be clear about this. Based on my personal dealings with the president, there is no basis to invoke the 25th Amendment." Now, according to the Times, the allegations are outlined in memos authored by former FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe. Here now to discuss this deep, this real deep situation, Madison Jesse Otto, advisor for the National Diversity Coalition for Trump, Daniel McLaughlin, liberal commentator. Jenna Ellis is back with us, constitutional law attorney, and also Fox News contributor DeRoy Murdoch. He's also with the National Review. He's a contributing editor there. DeRoy, let me start with you. Deep state at it again, huh?
Look, this is all part of an effort to go back to a story we heard earlier this year, which is that Donald J. Trump is insane, mentally ill, and he needs to be wheeled out of there in a straitjacket. The Russian collusion story has collapsed. There's still no Russian collusion despite about a 25-month investigation and hunt for Reds in October of 2016. So now they're going back to this whole notion that Trump is crazy. I saw a press conference he did, I think, on Monday or Tuesday with the president of Poland, President Duda. He conducted himself very well. People were talking in English and in Polish. He handled himself very well. I think that this president's mind is just fine. And the left just has nothing else to talk about. They won't focus on the fact that
the economy is booming. So you think it's improbable that this could have occurred?
I think what this is the so-called paper of record trying to find one more opportunity to raise questions about the president's mental illness. The president's mind is just fine. The economy is performing well. His government is doing well. And they have nothing else to do but bring up this old story that's been discredited both by the president's ability to do his job and also earlier this year by his doctor who came out and said his mind is just fine. I wish they dropped this and focus on the fact this economy is making life better for everybody in this country.
Danielle?
Well, it's interesting, right? I think one of the problems with the sourcing is that the people who are the anonymous sources, of course, are folks who were briefed on the contents of the memoranda and also the briefed on what actually happened in the room.
And also the New York Times, right? That's questionable as well.
No, it's not. No, I'm waiting for the fake news, actually. I'm waiting for the fake news retorts. Let's put this in context. What had just happened was two sort of major things. Number one, President Trump had asked for James Comey's loyalty, which is completely out of bounds, number one. Number two, some Russians had come into the Oval Office without anybody else. There was basically concerns about recording equipment. This was about 2 weeks in. The idea that Rosenstein would somehow corral a cabinet that the president had chosen to somehow get a 25th Amendment steam train on the way, it seems a highly
This doesn't mean that Andrew McCabe couldn't have said that. You know, maybe he made it up. Isn't that entirely possible?
That I actually don't believe that he would have memorialized a lie in this memoranda that he knew would eventually probably be turned over to FBI or certainly history.
We're talking about Andrew McCabe.
I don't think he would have made it.
Jenna, you're a constitutional attorney. I mean, I'm trying to, you know, I'm finally doing some work and trying to learn this 25th Amendment. Apparently, it came after JFK's death, 1965. Kind of complicated in a way, but ultimately, we keep hearing about it. Why is this being tossed around? Is it really something that can ultimately be used against President Trump?
This really isn't a constitutional question. The reason for the 25th Amendment was to make sure that we have established the succession line. If something were to happen to the President of the United States, we have a procedure in place for it. All that the left is trying to do is use this as a tactic to drive further division between President Trump and the Department of Justice. And so the fact that the New York Times is the one that's alleging this is a political question, and this is something that is not at all really serious in terms of the 25th Amendment. If people understand what that is in context, it's for actual disability or death of the president. It's not for people to speculate about his mental health.
You know, Madison, of course, some are saying that they wouldn't be surprised if there's some truth to this, that it's another example of the deep states, particularly the intelligence community, bracing for President Trump to come in, and start to sweep things here. Apparently, McCabe, the way the story went, McCabe maybe thought that it would be Sessions and Kelly who would actually invoke this article, the 25th Amendment, and get the ball rolling.
You know, I think as far as I'm concerned with what has come out today, Rod Rosenstein must go. He has to be fired. I think he's been there for far too long, should have been fired a while ago. But when we look at his response, I think that's what's most interesting about today. He didn't come out and say, I never said about wearing a wire, I never said about the 25th Amendment. All he said in his response was, there is no basis now to invoke the 25th Amendment. I don't trust him, and I think it's very interesting how he responded to that. And let's keep in mind, this is the first time we're hearing about the 25th Amendment since the anonymous op-ed. So who knows? Maybe he had something to do with that.
You know, there's going to be a lot of speculation this entire weekend. But again, there was President Trump not happy. He's not happy with Sessions. He hasn't been happy with Rod Rosenstein. And now there will be a lot of people saying this opens the door to Roy for him to take actions that he's wanted to take anyway.
If he believes Rosenstein did this, then yeah, Rosenstein ought to be his last day at the office. He ought to pack his bags and get out of there. The other thing I wish the president would do, he said he was going to declassify these documents related to the Russiagate story, and apparently he's dialed that back. He wants the inspector general at the DOJ to look at these. I think he should just let it rip, let it all hang out, get these documents out so we can see just how deep the corruption is, and not wait a second longer. These documents, I think, should be out this weekend.
I think that's really a problematic idea, because not only are this information is collected by our own intelligence services, but also foreign intelligence services, allies that have sources and methods that they want protected. So the idea that we should just en masse declassify this kind of information, I think, is extremely problematic and a really bad idea.
Yeah, I mean, and there'll be some redaction. I think ultimately something will be released to the general public, and I think it's been politicized enough, Jenna, that we do need to see that. But, you know, circling back to Rosenstein, Jeff Sessions, the relationship that we saw with the intelligence community, people high in the intelligence community who had this vitriolic attitude towards President Trump, candidate Trump, and then President Trump, there's certainly something wrong, and that has to be repaired. I don't think we've repaired that issue yet.
Well, I think that it's the media is advancing this sort of narrative that there is a problem with the anonymous op-ed and now this basically targeted piece against Rosenstein. And regardless of whether or not he saw that was 2 weeks allegedly after he started working for the Trump administration. He's gotten to know President Trump a lot better. So if the media would stop
attacking. So are you suggesting maybe Madison is right, that maybe he could have done this, and subsequently he's come to know President Trump, and Maybe he was overreacting. Maybe it was this sort of a knee-jerk deep state, hey, we've got to protect our turf because we're under fire kind of thing. And now he's circled around and he maybe he's on board. But is there a possibility that this story could be true?
That's certainly possible. And I think with what Rosenstein said and his response to that, it's entirely possible that he did that. But I think what we need to focus on is the fact that this is coming out now today. And this is just, again, a continual attack against President Trump to try to reinvoke the 25th Amendment completely out of context. That's really what the New York Times is trying to do here.
Madison?
I just think it's unacceptable whether or not he knows President Trump better now. I don't think those comments were okay. I don't think that someone in that position of power should be making those type of comments irresponsibly. People refer to him as erratic, his behavior as erratic. I don't think he should have a job. I think, like I said before, he has to go. This is another example of why he has to go. The corruption, the deep state, it's unacceptable. People in this country are sick of it. They voted for President Trump because they wanted to drain the swamp in Washington, and that's exactly what we need to do.
Yeah, well, we're learning that the swamp is pretty resilient, isn't it?
It is.
All right, thank you all very much.
The swamp has so many different levels, and it's so deep. After World War II, the National Security Act was formed, and then these Central Intelligence Agencies and the NSA and all that were created. And they'd been able to hide behind the facade of national security. And then there have been many, many criminal types of operations that have been carried out in the name of the U.S., but by these kinds of deep state elements. And so that's really what's been going on is out there, is that we're not totally in control of everything, and we won't really get everything correct. And our foreign, a lot of foreign people in foreign countries view the United States like the ugly American view that added itself a number of years ago in a book called The Ugly American. So some of our foreign affairs have been carried out by big financial banking and interest, whether they were drug, arms related, or banking interest. And they didn't portray, us in the correct way. The average American had been misportrayed. But anyway, I'm going to play Sean Hannity's this last Friday night program, and his introduction pretty well lays out some of the most important things. And listen carefully, and then I'll make some comments at the end.
Right, he is one man at the very top of this ongoing Russia collusion witch hunt. Now, after Attorney General Jeff Sessions recused himself from all things Russia, well, the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, assumed the responsibility. Now, this despite having massive conflicts of interest. Remember, it was Rod Rosenstein who drafted a report detailing why James Comey should be fired. It was Rod Rosenstein who signed off on the third FISA renewal application, the fourth FISA warrant against Trump campaign associate Carter Page. And, of course, all of this, as the Nunes memo and the Grassley-Graham memo says, the bulk of information came from that phony Russian dossier that Hillary paid for, the dirty dossier with Russian lies. Now, for months, we have literally been shouting from a mountaintop, matter of fact, well over a year now, that this whole process is and has been corrupt. Nobody in this equation can be trusted tonight. And now we have confirmation. New York Times reporting today that during meetings with top DOJ, FBI officials, including Lisa Page and Andrew McCabe, who is a known liar, we know that a grand jury has been convened in his case, Rod Rosenstein actually planned to push a quote, according to the New York Times, secretly record the President of the United States in the White House to expose the chaos consuming the administration and discuss recruiting cabinet members to invoke the 25th Amendment so they would remove President Trump, your duly elected president, from office for, quote, being unfit. Now, this all allegedly took place during Rosenstein's second week on the job. This is right after President Trump fired Comey, based on Rod Rosenstein's recommendation in part. And by the way, under Article 2 of our Constitution, he didn't even have to like James Comey's shoes, and he could have fired him for that. And according to the Times, Rosenstein thought, quote, well, he might be able to persuade the Attorney General Jeff Sessions General Kelly, then the Secretary of Homeland Security, now the White House Chief of Staff, to mount an effort to invoke the 25th Amendment. 2 weeks into the job, Rod Rosenstein wanted to wear a wire, secretly record a sitting president of the United States invoke the 25th Amendment. In other words, a silent coup against his boss by him, McCabe, others, all against a duly elected president. We are experiencing tonight a massive constitutional crisis, and frankly, this is designed to set up the president. I'll explain what this is about in a minute. Now, tonight, Rod Rosenstein, he is publicly denying this report, calling the story inaccurate, factually inaccurate. He wrote, quote, "I never pursued or authorized, recording the president. Any suggestion that I have ever advocated for the removal of the president is absolutely false. Given the numerous sources in this story, the New York Times remains adamant in their reporting." Two of their sources, by the way, we know one is Andrew McCabe and another is Lisa Page, although Lisa Page not on the 25th Amendment side of this. And we do know McCabe's a known liar. But we have other sources tonight telling Fox News that Rod Rosenstein's remarks were made sarcastically. But the New York Times, they are standing behind the story and the seriousness of Rod Rosenstein's remarks. Let's take a look.
This wasn't a flippant remark, and he was in fact very serious, and the circumstances in which it was described to me are different now than what's being put out, I guess, by the government. But it's important that your listeners understand something, that as I was pursuing this story for a very long time, people were reluctant to talk about it because of the gravity of the story, that there was concern that if it got out that, you know, Rosenstein had wanted to actually, you know, wear a wire, or suggested Andy McCabe, the deputy director, the acting director at the time, wear a wire, that Rod might get fired. People were sincerely concerned about this, not because he made a flip remark, because of the seriousness surrounding the remark.
So Rod Rosenstein, well, the New York Times is standing by their story. Andrew McCabe is one of the sources. His lawyer admitted that today. And he is saying, a known liar now, that in fact Rod meant what he said. Now we're going to have a lot more information from the New York Times report throughout the hour tonight. Now, before appointing Mueller to lead the special counsel investigation, Rosenstein floated another candidate, we find out from the New York Times. His name is James M. Cole. Well, that's problematic because Cole, while he was a deputy attorney general under Obama, conflict enough, he was also the private lawyer to Sid Vicious Blumenthal. That's Clinton's personal political hitman. And as you can see, neither Rod Rosenstein, Andrew McCabe, Lisa Page, Peter Strzok, James Comey, Bruce Orr is a friend of the president. That's why this country is in crisis tonight. Their bias is all obvious here. This has been corrupt from the beginning, before the election, after the election. They wanted to take down Donald Trump. Now it's time tonight for the Attorney General to now do his job. Mr. Sessions, this is your Department of Justice. Under no circumstances, I have a message for the president tonight. Under zero circumstances should the president fire anybody. These actors tonight, and I have multiple sources confirming this and more information coming, they are hoping and praying that the president does just that. They're hoping he gets mad, that he gets sick and tired of it, and that they can turn this politically into their equivalent of a Friday night massacre. The president needs to know it is all a setup. He needs to know that regardless of whether he steps in or not, and I would argue he should definitely not, the deep state tonight is crumbling from within at this very hour. They're now turning against each other. It's the president's job and duty, of course, to remove all enemies from within. But, of course, Democratic Senator Chuckie Schumer is in meltdown mode. You would think they cared about the truth. You think they would care about fixing and rigging and attempting to rig elections and lying to the American people and propagandizing the American people and misinforming the American people and having real Russian information bought and paid for by one party to destroy another candidate, and that FISA court judges were all lied to. But Chuckie doesn't care about that at all. He only cares about his friends in the deep state. And tonight he released a statement that proves just that. This story must not be used as a pretext for the corrupt purpose of firing the Deputy Attorney General, Rosenstein, in order to install an official who will allow the president to interfere with the special counsel's investigation. Generals Kelly, Mattis, and numerous other White House and cabinet officials have been reported to say critical things of the president without being fired. Hey, Chuck, none of them have talked about literally trying to set up a president and tape record a president and invoke the 25th Amendment, Chuck. Now, of course, we know what would happen if Rosenstein and others are fired by Jeff Sessions. Jeff Sessions actually has, that's his department. Jeff Sessions, where are you tonight? Solicitor General Noel Francisco would likely take over Rod Rosenstein's Russia duties. And he worked in the DOJ under President George W. Bush. He clerked for Antonin Scalia. More importantly, he doesn't have the baggage, the conflicts of interest, or we apparently the anti-Trump bias that so many others have had from the beginning. But with that said, I don't know at this hour who to trust anymore in the FBI or the DOJ. Well, I do. The rank and file, the people that do their job in the field offices every day, I trust them. Those that are upset about this, the most corrupt, massive abuse of power in this country's history, I believe in them. They are as upset, rightly so, as we all are. And meanwhile, this story is now shining a new light on the president's decision Monday to declassify FISA documents, 302s, other important information related to the FBI, DOJ handling of this so-called Russia objective probe. Today, the president tweeted out, quote, I met with the DOJ concerning the declassification of various unredacted documents. They agreed to release them, but stated that so doing may have perceived negative impact on the Russia probe. Also, key allies. What allies? What countries? They called to ask not to release them. Therefore, the inspector general has been asked to review these documents on an expedited basis. I believe he will move quickly on this and hopefully other things which he is looking at, meaning FISA. In the end, I can still always declassify it if it proves necessary. Speed is very important to me and to everyone. Other allies, there has been a lot of chatter. Do we have allied countries? We have a Fourth Amendment protection against unreasonable search and seizure, against using wiretapping against American citizens. Is it possible some of their friends in other countries might be thinking tonight that they're going to be exposed for doing the dirty work, sharing the information that they got that would otherwise be gotten illegally in this country with some of our deep state actors? It raises a lot of questions tonight. These documents the president requested Monday must be released, must be declassified immediately. This same routine has played out well over a year now, about 2 years. We have the DOJ, deep state actors, have done everything in their power, including lie that this will impact sources and methods when it doesn't, to prevent them from releasing the information that we, the American people, deserve to see. These actors know they will be exposed, their corruption, the serious misconduct, McCabe, Strzok, Page, and perhaps even James Comey himself. The DOJ has delayed the release of these important documents over again and again. They have defied congressional subpoenas, obstructed justice at this point, defied the oversight, constitutional authority of Congress. The president cannot let this go on any longer. Because as we wait, the deep state is winning, and they're trying to set up traps even for the president himself. These documents must be made available to you, the American people. Where's Spartacus, Cory Booker, when we need him? We deserve full transparency for the American people. No more delaying, no more hiding, no more lying, no more obstructing. You, we, the people, deserve to know what these top, upper-level people in our government were doing to undermine the people's pick for president.
There has been a tremendous conspiracy by these groups. John Brennan at one time was caught spying on senators and recording their conversations. He was called on the carpet on it, but he wasn't dismissed or anything. I mean, my gosh, that's about as treasonous as you can get, trying to spy on your own government, some of your own elected officials, senators besides that. And then we have this Feinstein thing that comes forward. Well, what's perplexing to me is she had a spy, a Chinese spy in her office, reported now and proven for 20 years. Now, who was spying? Was she involved with that Chinese spy? Was he doing the legwork for her or what? I wouldn't trust her at all, and I think we ought to go back and do some deep investigation of Senator Feinstein just to see what her track record was on votes concerning Chinese issues. Because it has been come out recently that she had a spy in her office. I mean, my gosh, what are we talking about here? And then she starts making these allegations, and these allegations came in from a California, you know what I mean, representative that when she first interviewed Christine Blasey Ford, she said she could notice the scars that she had from this information. And then since then, Alex Jones has developed information that said that Christine Ford is a very wild girl in high school. So, I mean, we all sowed our oats in high school, and we're drinking and stuff like that. Many of us, all of us, I guess. Not all, but some. So, I mean, you know, that's put on the table now. And so what are we really talking about here, see? We've got to try to overcome some of these you know, shortcomings. But anyway, here's our next clip, and listen to it. Now, in this next clip, it's a clip from Laura Ingraham. And what's important about this is that it has to do with a very important reporter, okay? And he's reporting that President Trump has actually walked back some of his you know, declassification initiatives. And my gosh, what are we talking about here? We got Lou Smith at the very beginning of this next clip on the Laura Ingraham Show. This was last Friday night. And they're going to be talking about him actually walking back his order to declassify some of these documents concerning the Russian spying. And and then his reason is, I went in, and I'll have this up on the site. There was a Twitter concerning this that he tweeted on Friday. The story goes, you'll have to listen to Lou Smith, but on Thursday night he was accosted by the Department of Justice officials saying, oh, you just can't release these right now. You can't declassify these. And then he went ahead and decided to send them over to the Inspector General and have him expedite declassification of what he was going to classify with an executive order by his signature. So it's another delay, and it's not good. And Lou Smith witnesses on Laura Ingraham's program that could be just another can of worms. So listen to this right now.
Play. Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to see the Rosenstein story, the story about Rosenstein in the Times and in the Post. These are both part of the declassification issue. They need to be seen in the context that they...
How so? Explain that.
Okay, we've seen since Monday when the president said he was going to declassify documents. Over the last week, the New York Times, ABC News, a number of publications have had stories trying to block the declassification. They've been sourced to former and current U.S. officials. I see this as part of the same thing. The Times story is apparently sourced to Andy McCabe.
He says he didn't talk. He said that his people are saying they didn't talk to the Times on that.
The lawyer statement looks to me like a non-denial denial on Twitter. I think what it looks like is that McCabe is, or someone close to McCabe, is threatening Rosenstein, saying, hey, I've got a lot of dirty stuff on you as well. If these things aren't declassified, you're going down with me. Unbeknownst to Andrew McCabe, it appears, according to my sources, that sometime between last night and this morning, Rod Rosenstein went in and talked to President Trump and convinced him to hold off on declassifying the documents, kick them instead over to the Inspector General.
What is that going to do? The Inspector General, how does that help the president?
Exactly. It does not help the president. The purpose was to delay. But it was Rosenstein, apparently, who convinced Trump to do it. Unbeknownst to McCabe, the wrathful McCabe had no idea. Presumably, the Times story was in the works for several days. The story drops a couple of hours after Trump tweets that the documents are going to go to the IG. And you can imagine Rosenstein's horror. McCabe has blown this beautiful plan I had to get us both in the clear. I think that's what happened. Rosenstein's effort to cover up, again, the Post story appears sourced to him. And the idea is we have to cover this up. I was telling a joke. Of course I wouldn't do such a thing. Andy
McCabe
didn't
funny.
Get my
this
joke.
This is what I understand. All if right. it's a joke, he and Corey, you can chime in here. He must have a really lame sense of humor because here's a joke isn't, hey, let's wear a wire. I'll wear a wire. Or someone else, one of you can, and then we'll get someone to invoke the 25th Amendment. Maybe I can get Sessions. How is that funny? There's no tee-hee, giggle-giggle in any of that. Corey, I think he's right. Laura. I think Lee is right. This is all about the declassification. Trump backtracked for some reason, and I think that was a big gift to Rosenstein because he's worried about that FISA application and the fact that exculpatory information was not put in that FISA application to monitor Carter Page. Corey.
Well, you're exactly right, and everybody has to remember that that was the third renewal of the application. There were four actual applications. The first application was denied by the FISA court. Rod Rosenstein signed this, and when the president made the announcement that he was going to declassify Bruce Orr's 302s, that was going to reveal that Nellie Orr, Bruce's wife, was talking to Christopher Steele, that the Justice Department knew about this, and that I'm sure Rod Rosenstein at the Justice Department was aware of what Bruce Orr was doing because he was his supervisor at some level, that all would have come out very clearly. And he was so afraid that that declassification was going to expose him for what he is, which is part of the deep state. This collusion would never exist. It's been a fake dossier from the beginning. And look, we've done extensive research on this now. We've seen what Rod Rosenstein's really about. Whether it's Rod Rosenstein, he covered up for Peter Schrock, for Lisa Page, for Andy McCabe, for Jim Comey. He's also the individual, and you remember this, who recommended Bob Mueller become the head of the FBI when Jim Comey was fired. And then the next day, he personally appointed Bob Mueller as a special counsel to investigate this president.
Tonight, the president briefly referenced this issue with the secret recording. Let's watch.
We have great people in the Department of Justice. We have great people. These are people I really believe. You take a poll, I got to be at 95%. But you had some real bad ones. You've seen what's happened at the FBI. They're all gone. But there's a lingering stench, and we're going to get rid of that, too.
I can't help but think that every time they delay, the delay. Now, just like this this up-and-coming testimony that's going to be negotiated with Christine Blasey Ford. It last night, there was a 10 o'clock deadline. But Grassley, Senator Grassley, I think Ms. Ford's attorney called late to Grassley or emailed and requested another day until they could get some agreement on the terms. Well, some of the terms of her testimony would be that Kavanaugh he's interviewed first and then she comes second. Well, it's like Dershowitz last night on one of the talk shows pointed out and says that's the way they did it back in the Inquisition. They would accuse someone and then make them testify and then they would be the, you know what I mean? In other words, the accuser is supposed to come first and then the accused comes, refutes that or defends himself, you know, with testimony. Well, during the Middle Ages, during the Inquisition, they made the accused testify first and then the church second. And then the church would just slam dunk anything they wanted to. Well, this sounds like, Dershowitz said, this is like out of the Inquisition times, you know? And there were other problems too about not being questioned by any attorneys, only senators. Well, all these committees have attorneys there that do some questioning at times because they're professionals in courts in examining and cross-examining witnesses. See, now you know there's rumors out here. There is some information going around that there was another professor in the California system that had some low ratings. Okay, and I think in an upcoming clip you might hear Alex mentioned some low ratings from students, but I believe that has been discounted and discredited. And there was another professor by the same name, Christine Ford that they got it mixed up with. I don't know if there's any ratings on the this accuser of Kavanaugh's right now. That's what the consensus on the web seems to be. But they, her attorney, Ms. Ford's attorney, wanted to turn this thing upside down, and she wanted to set the date that they would testify instead of the committee sets the date and then requests you to come there and be there voluntarily. If you won't come like that, they'll subpoena you. And if you come in, you have to be sworn in. You have to give oath, your oath, you know, take an oath of, to be truthful. And if you're caught lying, you're in perjury there. I mean, you could go to prison for lying to Congress during these committees after you've been sworn in. So, Ms. Ford wants to turn this thing on its head. I don't think that as of this date today, this is Saturday, the 22nd of September, I don't think there's any final agreement that I have right now at the time of this broadcast. But anyway, that's what's going on. Coming up next is Alex Jones, and he has a caller that comes in, and some of his callers are pretty insightful. So Alex sort of sets up this particular interview, and then there's a caller that calls in that says a very important thing. So listen to that.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
So, we're 47 days out from this historic election. Historic is putting it mildly. The economy's turning around in so many ways because globalism was designed to suppress us. Kavanaugh is such a key nominee because they want a bunch of leftists that will confiscate the Second Amendment, that will overturn basic capitalism. We see all these candidates going communist, going socialist. Kavanaugh is not perfect, but he is light years better than some of the people he is going to be replacing. That's my view. But again, look, I'm a libertarian, live and let live type guy. And, you know, I have a very, very conservative lifestyle these days in my life. But when I was in high school and college, I was pretty wild. So I don't look at people like Kavanaugh's accuser and hate her because, according to her school yearbooks, she was quite the tart, at least she was behaving and acting like a piranha-like slut. But what is it about all these leftist women then that use sex as a weapon and then point it at whoever they want? And as a psychology professor, she's got a zero rating, out at Stanford. And her own students hated her. And now she wants to come out and make unsubstantiated, unproven claims. Her own eyewitness says none of it happened. It's not true. Now she doesn't want to testify. She just wants to leave the lie out there and not have Kavanaugh be able to respond to it. It's outrageous. So I don't judge Christine Blasey Ford for drunken parties in high school and the things they describe. I do blame the parents. I mean, adult male strippers with golden thongs dancing in front of 15, 16, 17-year-old girls, that's perverted. That's sick. And you've got all the, you know, racist talk. We've got a Don Salazar with a big article about to go up on Infowars.com. In fact, it may be up there right now. We should check. I know it was minutes ago about to go up. These are things that need to be looked at because this woman who has a bad record at college, a bad record with her students and writings, a record of being a Hillary minion, a record of being vindictive, a record for having all these problems, we're supposed to just believe her 36 years later, have the whole corporate media embrace her, and then have her not show up and testify because she wants an FBI investigation when there's no such thing. Here's some of the ratings. Rate my professor, 0.0. And here's some of those ratings. I've just seen you guys putting it up on screen a lot, so I figured that's what you wanted. But yeah, there you go. Oh, it's a zero because even the reviews themselves have now been scrubbed completely. It's simply amazing. The establishment is going in and just censoring everywhere. The censorship isn't just ending with me, folks. It's a total culture of leftists trained and prepared to murder the truth, to murder justice. She works for a big, giant, big pharma company. And that's what she's doing. In fact, here's the article right now. We posted it on Infowars.com. It's from Mike Adams at NationalNews.com. Kavanaugh accuser Christine Ford exposed for ties to Big Pharma abortion pill maker. Efforts to derail Kavanaugh is plot to protect abortion industry profits. And I totally agree with Mike Adams' analysis. She's a huge lobbyist for it, pushes for it. She's written a whole bunch of papers trying to get it approved. She's on the payroll of it. And now we understand that they think Kavanaugh won't support the morning after pill. As you see in the media, they claim he won't. And that's what this is really about, is cold, hard money and population reduction. Isn't it always about that every time? That's amazing. So we're going to look more at that coming up. Again, the toll-free number to join us, 877-789-ALEX. We've got a lot of people that are holding here that want to talk. The first person I'm going to go to is Brad in Pennsylvania. Brad, thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Hey, Alex. Thanks for taking my call. And obviously, great, great job covering the story. Again, it's always the same, as you point out. And most people don't get it unless you're paying attention. But they always throw up a smoke screen, like, oh, you know, this, in this case, he supposedly groped her, which I'm not. We don't know, but I seriously doubt it based on everything you're throwing out there. And it's,
well, sure. 36 years later. The way she now won't come out and testify. She works for Big Pharma. She loves Hillary. She works for the Democrats. We've got all these witnesses. You've got her when she says she's this little sweet girl, so scared. Meanwhile, you go to the yearbooks, they talk about her like she was one of the biggest maniacs in the school.
Stinks to high heaven, and you're exactly right. I'm older than you are, about 10 years, so... back then, the culture, I mean, it sounds so that could have been my yearbook, not personally me, but I mean, I know exactly what you were saying. You know, things were wild back then in certain respects. So,
by the late 80s, if the cops caught, you know, you at a party with a bunch of beer, they wouldn't really do anything. And this is just what went on. Exactly. So I read this, but the male strippers, though, for high school girls, I never heard of that.
Well, no, but they might be bigger, you know, more money in that town she's from or whatever. So,
well, it's a super ultra rich area. She's definitely an elitist.
And you're exactly right, man. This is totally Feinstein cooked this up with her. She's a big lawyer. She's working for Big Pharma against the fact that you brought that out against the abortion issue. I mean, it's this stinks to high heaven. She's got to be lying or. They just cooked this up.
Well, here's the bigger news. Why are they suddenly wanting to pull her testifying? I think it's because all this is coming out, and they know there's even more there.
Yeah, and you said they wiped her social media. That's a smoking gun right there, too. I mean, these people are crazy, and most of us, you know, the conservatives, we're on the defensive. Why, I don't know, but in the media, we're always on the defensive.
Let me ask you that question. Don't you think the hearing should go ahead and Kavanaugh should get his name back? Just because she makes the accusation doesn't show up at court doesn't mean you don't show up. I think you should march in, put big projections of her up, have her classmates about how wild she was, college people, and how she's a Democrat, how she works for Big Pharma. I think we bring it all out.
No, it's a great idea, but do you think that's going to happen? I seriously doubt that's going to happen. But it'll be great to see how this plays out, but it's cuckoo land, man. You know, you deal with it every day.
Let me ask you this. Why do you think they brought somebody this shoddy out, a Democratic operative, an abortion company operative, somebody with this wild of a past? Because there's more about to come out, believe me. I just talked to some national folks. What do you make of why the Democrats are this desperate? Is it just Trump derangement syndrome?
Well, no, I think it's they just want whatever they can do to block it. And like you said, they waited to the last minute. I mean, you're all over this, Alex. You're brilliant on this.
Oh, no.
You're right. Waited to the last minute. You're trying to block it. You know, whatever they can do to stop it, they'll probably interrupt the hearings if they go ahead with it. They're going to do some more shenanigans during the hearings. You know they will.
Oh, there'll be women there going, you rapist, rape, 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 when they're not even accusing him of rape. 36 years ago, there's no proof. Her eyewitness says it didn't happen. Now she wants an FBI. It's like having an FBI investigation of the crucifixion of Christ. It's not their jurisdiction. There's no area to do it because of statute of limitations. It's clearly political. It's done in the 11th hour. It's what Trump said. He was the real genius here. Why? When Dianne Feinstein had Kavanaugh in the hot seat for hours. Weeks ago, did she not raise this? Because she was sitting on it premeditatedly. More calls straight ahead. Stay with us.
Alice made a very important point that Ms. Ford is tied in to the big pharma out there. In her book that she co-authored, entitled, How Many Subjects, Statistical Power Analysis and Research. Here's what they have written about the authors, and this is about Christine Bonzi. That's what she goes by, one of her professional names. Christine Bonzi is a professor of psychology at Palo Alto University and a research psychologist at Stanford University School of Medicine, Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Sciences. Christine received a PhD in psychology from the University of Southern California and an MS in epidemiology from Stanford University. Christine provides statistical consultation in academic settings, departments of psychiatry, cardiovascular medicine, education, and in the private sector. And this is what's important. It says that she has work in the private sector for pharmaceutical companies testing new medicines and medical devices. Christine's consultation area of expertise is in the interaction, listen to this, between pharmaceutical companies and the United States Food and Drug Administration, FDA. She has co-authored over 50 peer-reviewed journal articles and book chapters and serves as a statistical reviewer for several psychology and psychiatric journals. Christine teaches statistics, research methods, and psychometrics in the PGSP, Stanford University Consortium for Clinical Psychology. Her primary interest is mentoring future psychologists. So anyway, I thought I would mention that because that's basically what she's into on her, some of her outside consulting. So what we have is we have a lady here that went to one of these upscale private schools up there for the very wealthy and the well-to-do in the Washington, D.C. area. The schools, through their yearbooks and stuff, depicted a very, very wild and a very, very party, a lot of party, you know, party people. It was a party school. And there was a lot of drinking that went on, and she even told some of her friends that she had a very wild, life, you know. And so she's not this little, you know what I mean, subdued little, you know, girl that, you know, was violated this night and things like that. She's trying to depict herself to the public like that. But evidently, I mean, she was one of the leaders, that some would even say, of some of the parties that she was at and so forth. So, I mean, but that's not to say that she shouldn't testify. She has come forward in this area. She has the right to testify. Her family is connected to possible intelligence operations and so forth over the years. They're all up from that Washington, Virginia area. So there's been a lot of work there that some of her relatives, her father and her brother, have had with some of the top law firms or some of the other companies out there that are doing all kinds of undercover work or perhaps could be front organizations for the CIA. We've got to let people speak. If she wants to speak, let her speak. Senator Grassley has been overwhelmingly bent over backwards to accommodate what she wants to do. The attorney has played this to the hilt in a delaying tactics. She's always wanting to put stuff off. No, they can't do Monday. They can do Wednesday, but they prefer Thursday. But now it's being pushed to Wednesday, maybe. But Grassley is holding pretty firm on his requirements about her testimony. And they have pretty well just nixed out anything that she wants as far as Kavanaugh going first and then she goes second. And they've said no, and we're going to have attorneys working for our committee. They can testify. That's what Grassley says. He said no to her attorney on most of the requirements of this interview. Grassley has says no way. And he said, we're the committee, basically. And we'll make the rules on our committee hearings. and we're not going to let anyone else come in here and demand, like she's been demanding an FBI through her attorney investigation. It's not even in their purview to do this. This was a state. Evidently, the party was in Maryland, so it was it would have to do with state law if there was a violation. Trump, and in one of his tweets, and he's not. Here's where he messes up all the time. He's come in there and he said, well, if this was a major violation, there should have been charges. Where are the records of this? And her parents loving her like they should have filed charges. Well, look, this was a high school party. There were a lot of high school parties. Ms. Ford does not have an accurate, a detailed recounting of exactly the time and date and place of this. She's never expressed specific, details of these allegations that she's lodged against Kavanaugh. So, I mean, that right there is, you know, you can't go into court, you know what I mean, with just skimmy, you know, just allegations that don't have specifics. What is that about, see? So, and then we've got this Rosenstein thing, and one, the guy that wrote the article in the New York Times, I forget the name, he testified on Sean Hannity's program. Well, there was a clip that, yes, he interviewed people, and he's not giving all his sources. So we have some of these unknown sources again. So there's two theories about this Rosenstein article. Why was it published in the New York Times? When the New York Times has done the most to cover up this, you could say, this conspiracy to knock out Trump and against him, and to take down his government and to besmirch him and to remove him from office. So why would the New York Times all of a sudden publish this scathing article against Rosenstein? See, one of the theories is that they want Trump to move and to dismiss Rosenstein, and would cause a big uproar, and you know, Trump could maybe lose on this midterm by doing that. See, that's coming up within 40 something days, and so we have the midterms that are very, very important in this political, you could say, dominance of Congress. Your Democrats are saying, boy, they're going to be a blue wave and they're going to take over the House and things like that. But then you look at these Las Vegas. Like the other night, he was in Vegas. Before that, he was in Ohio. He has, in Vegas, they had crowds. They had lines hundreds of yards long out there waiting to get in. I mean, Trump is coming, bringing the country back. He's providing business, a greater business for the country. And, you know, the black Americans now are making more money. They've got more money in their pocket. Everyone is working, and there are jobs out there that go begging. So his turnaround has been very, very good. Now, just recently, Steve Bannon was interviewed by a Chinese publication, and he's saying that Trump is not going to back off on this nuclear trade battle with China, and he thinks, according to Steve Bannon, that China is going to lose this battle. So Steve Bannon seemed to think in his interview there that Chinese had pretty well reached all the tariffs that they could do to hurt our goods, because we won't have much going in there, but we have a lot of tariffs we can put on their goods and so forth. Now, the president just signed recently an executive order, okay, and it's entitled Executive Order to Protect Competition and Small Business from Bias and on Online Platforms. And so it's the beginning to create rules and so forth about what these big social platforms can do, and his focus is Facebook and Google, see. And so this is just the beginning of the president looking at and beginning to look at this on an antitrust basis, see, because of the competition they have, because of the immensity of their scope. And then they can by the editing of the, through using algorithms, and everybody's beginning to know this now, so this isn't just the latest, greatest information. But we've got to repeat it because many people are picking up news from different sources. But using algorithms, you can decide what to present to the viewer when they do a search. And through what you present to the viewer, then is a means of censoring, see, what you don't want to the viewer to see. So if you want a liberal view, news to present to the viewer, or some kind of a liberal idea, then you just present only liberal views. And occasionally you might put in some conservative views just to make it look like that you're fair-minded. But we have studies that have been done and books that have been written on the subject. And they say absolutely, that the big search machines, and that would be Google, and the Facebook too, have, and they've even testified to some of this, that they say that they're really fair-handed or not, but they have been totally biased against conservative or libertarian or liberty-seeking type of people, you know. And actually, they have favored more of the liberal left, democratic left, in their social, you know, the renderings of the rendering up of what the search results are. So we have that ongoing. The country is in chaos, and we're not in bad chaos as much as possible. I was looking the other day at a restaurant, looking around at a restaurant that I go to and have coffee in the morning. And, you know, there were families in there. Your traditional family is not dead. And they have traditional families, and they have children. They have a mother, and they have a father, and there are children there. So this thing about this upheaval that we're beginning to see about transgender and all that, that's not really what most people want in this country. I think most people, they're looking for happiness, and they're looking for someone to love, and they're looking to have a family. That inherent in every woman is that drive to procreate and have children, and then to the life-giving and nurturing. That is a very strong drive in women, and that's why we have families. I mean, you know, I had a father and I had a mom, and my father got together with my mom and then conceived us, and then we're out here pulling deals when we're kids. You know how children are. But I see an America as it begin to be prosperous again too, and that's another key. We're getting back to where we can afford, maybe, and maybe people don't have to have two or three different jobs. They can concentrate on one job, a little part-time work possibly, and still make a better living than they did before. So with prosperity, it's going to stabilize this country. Under Obama and the other past administrations, we couldn't. The last 8 years before Trump, we indulged them. I mean, now Obama's trying to take credit for, oh, he said, yeah, these jobs creation, that came, he started all that, right? No, I mean, he was a caretaker. He was actually, he neglected the country. There were briefers that have stated that he didn't even read his daily briefing from the CIA all the time. So what are we talking about, you know? We're talking about someone that was just a caretaker, you know. He really didn't do the job. Trump, that's one thing about Trump. He does make mistakes, and he's hustled by these people at times. But he's on the job. I'll say that. One thing about Donald Trump is he's there. He's in the Oval Office, and he gives you a fair, you know, work schedule. I mean, a fair share of his time to the American public. And deep down, President Trump cares about the country too. He has a deep-seated, you know what I mean, patriotic, you know, bend. And that's what the saving grace of Donald Trump is. I want to thank everyone for listening tonight. And tune in next week, 7 to 9, every Saturday night. Thank you for listening, and good night.